First reading is from Isaiah chapter 10, or 7, sorry, verses 10 to 17. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz and saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and all your ancestral house such days as have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Well, here we are. Just a week ago, we gathered in anticipation of the wonder of Christmas Day. And this week has flown by for many of us. Presents have been opened, carols have been sung, dinner has been served, and the Christmas story has been told. The celebration of Jesus' birth has passed for another year. And as I said to the children, for many people this can be a difficult time, because the day after or the days after a major event in our lives, very often people will experience discouragement. And there's often a time of recovery that's needed. And when people are exhausted and worn out, they're more apt to feel more negative emotions than they are positive emotions. There may also be periods of disappointment and despair, because as people gather together, they are aware of unresolved family conflicts. They are maybe not feeling well themselves and maybe experiencing pain. And it marks the fact that they still are in pain or dealing with a chronic illness. And for some people, they wonder if there's really any hope for the future when they come through a period of a major event that then focuses afterwards on disappointment. Somehow, Christmas seems to take a back seat as we gaze into the uncertainty of a new year. So, is there a message of hope for us today as we ponder the impact of Christmas 1 week later? Yes, believe there is a special message for the world on December 31st of 2017. Jesus has been born. The prophets foretold it, the angels sang it, the shepherds proclaimed it, Mary and Joseph knew it, Matthew and Luke wrote about it. And in Matthew 1, Louise read to us the words of the prophet Isaiah that foretold Jesus' birth. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that is only used three times in our Old and New Testament. So it's not a common phrase that we use that actually talks about who Jesus was. But it is bound, this word Emmanuel binds the Old Testament to the New Testament. Who was the God in the Old Testament? Who was the God that the Jews worshipped? He was one God, not multiple gods like other world religions, but he was one God who made himself known to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, as well as his prophets. And he, God, the one and only God, made a covenant with the Jews that through them the whole world would come to know him as God. One God created all things in every generation and in every culture. All other gods, the Old Testament taught, are products of human imagination or culture. And it is in Matthew that we see God of the Old Testament now being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is bound to the Old. And if we actually did a study in Jewish spirituality, it would be fascinating to really see the comparisons between who God was in the Old Testament and then who Jesus as God revealed through human personhood was, the linking of those two, the Old and the New, together. All the revelations of the Old Testament come in the personhood of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. So the question needs to be asked, is this God, this one God of the Old Testament, then revealed in Jesus Christ, still with us? How do we know in 2017 that Jesus is real? How do we know? How do we absolutely know, without a doubt, that God is with us? First, I think he answers our prayers. There is no world religion that has a God who answers prayer. Significant things. And some answers come quite quickly. I want to share very briefly a little bit of some of the stress that I've been carrying with the charity Change Your World. Now, I know all of you are aware of the work that I do with Change Your World, and we have over 200 girls that we're educating in Malawi. But as a treasurer, and only Louise could understand this completely, as the treasurer, as you are allowing the project to grow and to continue, you realize that as each year goes by, there are more and more expenses. And for us in the charity, we now have 26 girls in post-secondary education. Unheard of. We're the only charity in the country of Malawi that actually pay for girls to go beyond grade 12. So we have 26, and there's millions that need to go on, but 26 are currently in post-secondary education. And that brings bigger costs, because when we educate a girl in high school, it's about $150 to $300 a girl for a year. But when they go on to university or to college, the programs generally are around $2,500 per year. A lot less than the tuition here, but still on less than $30 a day. You can imagine that most parents would never dream of being able to send their girls on further education. But that's meant that for us as a charity, our expenses have gone very high. And as we came, Linda and I, to wire the funds over in December, we did not have enough money in the account to pay for these girls to be in school for their second term. Now, we've faced this before, and one of the gifts that I have in the charity is knowing that God is our CEO. So we pray, and Linda and I bowed our heads as we were preparing in the early December to make the wire, and we said, Lord, we do not have enough money. You know the needs of the girls. You know what is there for them. And you know what our resources are. And so we pray that you will bring in the resources, that you will speak to people, and that you will bring the resources. And then you wait, right? You pray and you surrender it to God, and then you wait. And we waited. And we waited. And we went to the post office. And we had donations come in, and we added them up. And we got to the 12th hour, the morning of the wire needing to be sent. And we were $500 short. And I didn't have $500 to give. So we prayed again. And I said to Linda that morning, we'll meet at the bank at 1, but we have to believe that something, somehow, is going to happen that we will have the money to send for this wire. When Linda arrived at the bank, her face was glowing. I said, something happened. She said, you won't believe it. I said, tell me. She said, well, we had someone drop by my house this morning from St. Mary's Presbyterian Church, and they handed me a check for $500. I said, praises be to God, and answered prayer. And so we were able to send that wire. And every time that we come to that very bottom line where we don't know where are the funds going to come, God is a God who answers prayer. And I have been so challenged in my role as treasurer of the charity to really work hard to try to save as much and to delay paying bills until we have the money. But it does come down sometimes to the last minute. And God works in mysterious ways. And when I see these answers over and over again, I know that He is a God who hears and answers prayer. But sometimes prayers take a very long time. I knew a woman who had a son who was very unable to cope with life. She faithfully prayed that her son would come to know Jesus Christ. But year after year, her son rebelled. He abused drugs. He was thrown into prison. He showed no signs of ever wanting to know Jesus Christ. And the days and weeks and months and years went by with no indication that there was anything different in this young man's life. Then one day, 28 years after this mother first started to pray, this man in prison came to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And his life was transformed. In fact, today, he is busy in a prison ministry which brings the truth of the gospel, the truth of a God who hears and answers prayer to other inmates, just like him, that were struggling to understand the existence of their lives in this world. Do I believe that that mother's prayers were heard? Yes, absolutely. But it took a very, very long time. You see, God is in the business of interacting with his creation. God's words speak to the hearts of each of us. They speak, fear not, I am with you. Cast your cares upon me. Why do you worry about things that, like what you should eat or the clothes you should wear, Jesus asks. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. God is still with us. But how do we really know? The second reason I think we can know is we exist. This church exists. The body of Christ is still present in the world 2,000 years after Jesus came. And we still have his words in the scriptures that we can read and study and contemplate and ponder and wrestle with as we come to understand who this God is, who is revealed through Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ came to the earth to enter the chaos of humanity and bring healing, forgiveness, freedom from sin, and hope after death. All around us is a hurting world. People are looking for answers, and we have a message to give. There's a rather humorous story told of two little boys at church who were best friends. Now, they weren't like any boys that are in this church, I can assure you. But they had a very bad reputation for getting into a lot of trouble. One Sunday, one of the boys was sick and had to stay home. But not wanting to let his friend down, the other little boy was twice as bad as usual in church. As he was running through the sanctuary after church, the pastor grabbed him by the collar and angrily said, "Do you know where God is?" The little boy was frightened and didn't want to say. The pastor continued, "I want you to go home and think about that. I don't want you coming back until you can tell me where God is." After church, the little boy went over to his sick friend's house. He said to his friend, "Guess what? They've lost God, and they're trying to put the blame on us." Emmanuel, God is with us, and he is everywhere. I believe that as the body of Christ here in this place, you have, and you will continue to make a difference in the lives of others. Look at where this church stands, in a community where there's no other active church. Look at the unique gifts you possess. The gift of welcoming a stranger, the gift of hospitality, the gift of children's ministry, the gift of prayer, where people can come and articulate what their prayer needs are. You possess the gift of care and compassion for others, the gift of worship, the gift of mission. God is with us. It is interesting that Emmanuel doesn't mean God with me. It means God with us. God is with us, and it means that we need one another. It means that the work we are to do is not to be done in isolation as individuals, but as corporate gathering of his people together. When Jesus sent out the disciples to share the good news, to pray for the sick and cast out demons, he did not send them out as individuals. He sent them out in pairs. There are some Christians that believe that they can be a follower of Jesus Christ all on their own, not dependent on anyone else, and certainly not needing to connect to others. And it is true that each individual on earth must make a personal decision in their own minds about what they will believe. Individuals must decide whether they will believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God or not. Your Christian faith cannot be inherited. All of us, at some time in our lives, must make a decision on what we believe about God through Jesus Christ. And then make the decision of putting that into practice and actually walking day by day in the knowledge and trust of this God as revealed through Jesus. God did not create the relationship between himself and us as individuals to be oppressive in a dictatorship. "You must believe in me or else," God invites. No. The Lord said to the church at Laodicea, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. In Revelation 3, we read those verses. Emmanuel, God with us. What is Jesus Christ calling us to do as his body in this place? The call is for all of us working together to share the good news of the gospel. Why? Why is that something that we need to be thinking about? Because we need God's presence, and the people around us need God's presence also. Both for the mountaintop experiences and for the times when they walk through the shadow of death. There will be challenges in the week ahead, but God is with us. Therefore, we have nothing to fear in the new year because our God is alive. Emmanuel is with us. Yesterday morning, I made my way through the snow and whiteouts to St. Mary's Presbyterian Church to attend a funeral, which probably had close to 300 people in attendance, of a gentleman that I had come to know there who was a great supporter of Change World, but also a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. This gentleman had grown up in St. Mary's, and he was the eldest of three sons, and he engaged in church activities when he was young in the young people's group. He was also a skilled carpenter, and much was said about his family connections, his work, and relationship with the community. But what I heard over and over again was his faith in Jesus Christ that allowed him to not only journey through the ups and downs of life, the good things and the not so good things that happened in his life, but also the times of this last 6 months as he struggled with cancer. He was an ordained elder and served as clerk for 2 terms, and he had helped in many ways within that congregation to make objects that were useful for worship. As my eyes roamed across the sanctuary, filled to capacity, I thought about the life of this one person. Yes, he had made mistakes, but he knew his Redeemer. He knew that a Savior had been born to die so that he could live eternally. And at the young age of 59 years, he was welcomed into the glorious splendor of heaven. As I mingled with many following the service, I heard many stories of grief. And I always warn grieving families that if they are, one of the things that I tell them when they're struggling in going into doing visitation or having a funeral service is be prepared to be a grief counselor. We don't expect the grieving person to have to do that, but often they are called to do that. They're the ones that are actually supporting others who come, because as the others come to meet them in their moment of grief, they want to share their grief stories. And so I teach them how to listen in the midst of their own grief as they are preparing for people to come and support them in theirs. And as I heard the stories, I heard many, many stories of how God had revealed himself to people through their grief moments and through their own struggles with recent deaths in their families. And over, I heard the message, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us through the stories that people shared with me. And in the midst of this grieving community, there was not despair, but there was light. There was not darkness, but there was love. There was not anger, there was hope. So as we leave this place, may each of us begin to experience Emmanuel, God with us, in a unique way as his church, as we go forth into this new week, to shine as his lights in a dark world. I feel very blessed to be a part of this community of faith. And I am looking forward to what 2018